Okay, here's the deal. Late
7 o'clock.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like you say, just turn up and listen, you know?
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, here we go. All you OGs, it's 7 to 10 tonight. You know what to do. 404-726-0929. There are no guests on the show but you because why? Because, that's right, I'm hosting. Because that's how I do it. It's how I roll. Some guys, hey, look, hey, everybody does the show different. Everybody does their own shows different. Some guys want to talk to about six different reporters. That's great. That's wonderful. I will occasionally have a guest if it's important or it fits a story that we're needing some more information on. But 90-95% of the time, it's just you. Because it's what I want to do. I want to hear from you. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today, huh? Yeah. We're going to have a lot to talk about between now and... Well, at least the Super Bowl, because the NFL's going. And when the NFL's going, and, oh, man, everything that's going to be going on, oh, man. So it's a good, though. It's good. Welcome to the show from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you tonight. 7 till 10 on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Dominator, Dominooch. Dom is the executive producer, technical director tonight. Call screener. Be nice to him when you call in. And otherwise, Grand Poobah in charge of everything. So if anything goes wrong in the show, you call him and blame him. Okay?
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault.
It's his fault. No, it's actually not. But we'll just pretend that it is. How you doing, Dom?
Not too bad. Not too bad, man. You know, it was a nice cooler day. You know, got some rain, so I was thankful for that. I wasn't sweating up a storm today.
Ah, you got rain. I didn't get, and there was no rain up here. You know, it's like Phoenix dry. Okay, I mean, my grass is like help. It's not good. but whatever. Hopefully it rains here. Yeah, cooler is a relative term. But yeah, it wasn't like Africa hot like it's been the last few days.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I guess that's true. Yeah. So the Home Run Derby, Dom, is tonight. Are we excited about the Home Run Derby? Are we pumped about the Home Run Derby tonight?
I would be if there were, you know, some more Braves possibly participating. But, I mean, you know, it's cool. I'll catch some of the highlights. You know, I'll see who won and whatnot. You know, if someone puts on a crazy performance, I'll tune in. You know, I'll keep my ear listening.
Yeah. I am absolutely probably not going to watch. Primarily because I'm doing a show at that time. And even if I weren't, I probably wouldn't watch. I know Marcelo Zuna's in it, right? So is Pete Alonso. I think Garcia's in it, right? Because he's the local guy there in Dallas. I have no idea who else is in it. Whoever it is, it's like, I don't know. It's not like it used to be, right? When it was Ken Jr. and it was McGuire. You know, it's sort of like Slam Dunk. When the Slam Dunk started, I was really fortunate to be in a few places. Now, this is not bragging or anything. This is just telling you because I've had the great fortune, and God bless me, with this as a career. And so I've had great fortune in my life to have been at multiple big events and big moments and whatnot. That's just the nature of what I have done for a living. And I will always be grateful to God for the fact that I was able to be there. So one of the moments among the many was courtside with our photographer from CNN. At the 1985 Slam Dunk at Market Square Arena, I'm sitting on the floor for Market Square Arena for when Dominique beat Michael Jordan and Dr. J. Oh, man, that thing was insane. It was insane. And back in 84, 85, when they first started the Slam Dunk, right? When they first started the Slam Dunk, the ratings were so spectacular on television that next to the Super Bowl, the Slam Dunk was the second highest rated sports event of the year for the first 4 or 5 years of its existence. And then it started to go away. And then it like jumped the car and jumped the airplane and jumped the shark. A Home Run Derby, kind of the same thing. Remember, we had all the big names. Everybody was jacked up. And now it's like, I know Alonso's in it, Garcia. I know Azuna's in it only because I'm a Brave. I don't know any of the rest of the guys. It's like, I don't know. I don't care. And see, the problem with the Home Run Derby is there's only so much you can do with it before it's like, huh. I mean, same with the slam dunk. There's only so many slam dunks you could do. And they've been doing the slam dunk for 40 years. There's really not a whole lot new you can do. It's sort of like dating your first girlfriend, right? Okay, it was really fun, it was really exciting, till it wasn't, and then you were kind of done with it. And yet, every year at about the same time on your anniversary, your first date, she keeps like texting and calling and saying, "Hey, it was kind of fun back in the day. You want to do it again?" No. Well, you know. And then the next year, she'd be, "Hey, you want to?" No, I moved on. So I got to tell you, I'm probably not. If you want updates on the Home Run Derby, go watch it, because you're not going to get them here. I'm just not going to be paying attention. I know it's tonight. Don't really care. Now, having said that, there's another thing in baseball too. And by the way, I wasn't talking about your first girlfriend, Dom. I was kind of referring to it.
Okay. I appreciate it. She'll appreciate that as well.
Right. Good. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so about half an hour before the show, I got, I don't know, we're friends. We're friends. All right. We're friends. But we're friendly. We're friendly like online. You know, I mean, we're not hanging out having beers, but we're friendly online. And we've been texting and tweeting each other and DM for years. And only met him once, but I mean, we're friendly online. So he's a huge Braves fan. So he's like, "What the hell are the Braves doing in this draft?" And I looked down and I went, "Oh, that's interesting." Because if you haven't been paying attention, the draft is going on right now. It started yesterday. I think they're in Fort Worthless, and because the All-Star game's in Arlington, and Arlington is actually kind of closer to – it's actually in the same county as Fort Worth, not as in Dallas. And I, all right, sorry to all you Fort Worth fans. I call it Fort Worthless. That's what they call it in Dallas, okay? And Dallas, see, you probably, I spent so much of my life in Dallas. My mom lives there. She's lived there for 40 some odd years. I got married there. I know a lot about Dallas. Anyway, Dallas hates Fort Worth, okay? If you've never been to the Metroplex, Dallas hates Fort Worth, and they call it Fort Worthless. Now, Fort Worth hates Dallas. And Fort Worth hates Dallas because they think I'm just telling you how the works in the Metroplex, they think Dallas, the people in Dallas, are a bunch of arrogant, snooty, spoon-fed, golden spoon, silver spoon, they're all a bunch of Highland Park SMU snots. Now, I mean, they're not wrong, they are, but beside the point, Fort Worth is a really nice town, okay, it really. And if I had to choose between the two and I had to live in the Metroplex, I would only do so if I was forced to by a judge. But if I had to live in the Metroplex, I would live in Fort Worth. Why? Because Fort Worth is a normal town and Dallas is a bunch of just what I told you. It is a special place. There are a couple of towns you don't realize if you've never traveled that are special places, okay? They're special places because the people who live there have an incredibly high opinion of themselves, all right? Okay, Dallas is one and Denver is another. They have an incredibly high opinion of themselves in towns like that. Okay, just saying. Salt Lake is a special place for a different reason, but they have incredibly high opinion of themselves. So anyway, and that's why they think the Cowboys, when I was at their last Super Bowl, dude, you're 37. Yes, when I was at you weren't even alive at their last Super Bowl. You know, you could barely remember it, right? I mean, it was like 30 years ago. You would have been like in second grade. Well, okay, but, so I just love to dig on Dallas because it's a lot of fun. I used to do that before I was able to, you know, come here and be on local radio. Because, see, I would dig on the swamp on national radio. I know, I'm getting off track here. But I would dig on the swamp on national radio, and nobody knew what I was talking about. They're like, "What? Swampers, who are those people?" I'm like, "Okay, I got to explain this." So I would dig on Dallas for a long time, even though I got married in Dallas, and it is a nice town. I just dig on it a little bit. So what are the Braves doing? He's like, "What are the Braves doing in this draft?" Because they're in Fort Worth drafting, and they had the first round, of course, yesterday. They had rounds 3 through 10 today, and then they're going to finish up tomorrow with the final rounds. And if you look down at what the Braves have done in the first 10 rounds, I know you're not going to know the names and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to go through it pick by pick. I'm just going to tell you what position they picked. Now, Dom, you're a pretty smart guy, right?
I like to think so every once in a while. I have my days.
Okay, so the Braves have gone through 10 rounds. They've selected 10 players. I'm going to give you the positions of these picks round by round, just the position, and you tell me if there's a theme, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? First round pitcher, second round pitcher, third round pitcher, fourth round pitcher, fifth round catcher, sixth round pitcher, seventh round pitcher, eighth round pitcher, ninth round pitcher, 10th round pitcher. Is there a theme there, Don?
Sure, seems
Thomas
like
their
it.
Theme.
Sure, seems yeah. like it.
They took a catcher in round five and otherwise nine pitchers. He's like, what the hell are they doing taking nine? We've got pitching. We have no hit. Our farm system has no hitting. And he's not wrong. I mean, there's a couple of guys down there that look like they have some game, but it's not like it was 7-8 years ago. No, they're no, it's not like that. And so we need position players. He's screaming. I'm like, well, you can never have too much pitching, right? Well, yeah, but we need position players. What are they doing? And then I want you to stop and think as I explain to him. I said, well, look at it from their perspective, okay? From their perspective, the core, and even though it's been banged up and injured and all that kind of stuff really badly at times, and even still right now, their core players for their team, Acuna and Ozzie and Riley and Olson and Harris and Murphy, kind of those core six guys, are locked up for a long time. And they're not getting rid of them. So you can bring position players in all you want, but as long as Michael Harris is, you know, healthy and hopefully back soon, he's running. Hopefully he's back right after the All-Star break here. Michael Harris is going to be the center fielder. It's July 15, 2024. I'm going to guess that July 15, 2034, Michael Harris is still the center fielder of the Atlanta Braves. So why are you going to go out and get another center fielder? Well, it would be kind of pointless, right? I mean, he's going to be here for at least a decade, maybe more. I mean, Michael Harris could, in theory, be the center fielder of the Braves till July 15th, 2040. I mean, in theory, so could Ronald Acuna could be on the team till 2040. I'm not saying they would be, but they could be. And so they're looking at it going, well, yeah, we can get all the position players we want. Ain't going to do us no good because they don't got positions to play for the next 5 years at a minimum. Because Riley's going to be anchored at third base for a decade. Harris, a decade. Acuna, presuming he's healthy, a decade. Ozzie, another. And we're talking another decade here. And be like, oh, you can't afford all those guys. At some point, you'll have to pay them, right? But there's no, maybe get a shortstop. But you got a shortstop, Nacho Alvarez. Why they haven't brought him up, I have no idea. Don't ask me. I can't figure these things out. It makes no sense to me. If he's the future at shortstop, bring the damn guy up and put him in now. You know, what's the wait? And of course, yes, you're going to have to go out and get another corner outfielder to plug in. But if you believe that Jarrett Kelnick's got game, remember, Kelnick's a really young guy. If he continues to do well and flourishes, he could be your left fielder for a decade. So, yes, it's all about pitching for them, right? Ah, okay, now it makes kind of sense. Plus, if you get a bunch of pitchers and you develop them, they become really great trade assets. There's no better trade asset than a good young pitcher. One of the things the Braves have right now, a great trade assets in good young pitching, because they've got so many of them in A.J. Smith-Shawver and Schwellenbach, right? And then you go down to Hurston Waldrop. Ian Anderson could be coming back. Remember, he's still a young guy. You got Owen Murphy. I mean, there's a lot of really good arms in this Braves system, really good young arms that they can use as either parts of their rotation next year or in trades moving forward in the future. Because really, if you look at their rotation, Chris Sale's not a young guy, right? And we know that Morton's in his last year. It's probably odds on that Max Fried won't be back next year. And as long as Strider comes back, you may be putting Strider with Lopez and what? I mean, the what isn't so. I mean, it could be Elder. It could be Smith-Shawver. It could be Schwellenbach. It could be. But it's all going to be those young guys, right? I mean, it could be Waldrop. It could be any of those guys, right? It could be Dylan Lee. Or maybe you go out and get somebody else to be a kind of a veteran that you bring into the mix here, which they can do too. So, but anyway, that was the whole thing about the pitcher. Anyway, they've taken a bunch of pitchers. Just know that. And the first guy they took, this Cam Caminiti. I knew his cousin, Ken. I can't believe they're cousins. It's Cam Caminiti is Ken Caminiti's cousin. Now, Ken Caminiti is like close to my, well, I mean, he would have been. He's not with us anymore. But Cam Caminiti, 17. And they're cousins? I mean, Ken would have been close to my age. Close to 60. You know, but apparently this 17-year-old is really something. He can bring it. And everybody's like, yeah, you guys got a superstar, Cam Caminiti. Remember that name moving forward. Quick break when we get back. NFL camps, Copa Insanity, and we're going to launch into the first discussion point of the night, which is the SEC Media Days. because I got a lot of questions for you college football fans, because SEC Media Days are going on right now, and I need you fans to answer them, okay? A lot of team. Every team's welcome, but a lot of teams. On Sports Radio, 92 on the game.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Want you to rock this place out every night.
Talking Atlanta sports at night. This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios.
Yeah.
NFL camps are opening up all over the place. The Ravens have already opened up their camp. Coming up tomorrow, the Bills, Bears, Chiefs, Chargers, Dolphins, Swampers, Giants, and 49ers. All eight of those teams are going to open up with their rookies reporting. The Texans on Wednesday, the Texans become the first team to open its full camp. They'll have their rookies and their veterans. They're coming in early because they're knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame game, and they're going to be playing against the Bears in that one. On Wednesday the 24th, Flowery Branch Falcons will open camp. It's kind of an unfortunate year in a way for them because of the continuing construction up there. Somebody said, it sounds like just an excuse. They don't really want the fans to see the team. Yeah, yeah, that's the you got it. You're spot on. That's why they're going to great lengths to hold two open practices. Yeah, okay. All right. So anyway, there's so much construction going on out there. There's nowhere to park and sit and all that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, no fans at training camp this year. But 90-10 The Game is going to be there wall-to-wall through training camp. Wall-to-wall through training camp. All the shows in and around Falcons training camp, giving you the very latest, talking to the coaches, the players, the insiders, and giving you the very latest on the team. You want to follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We'll be posting videos and photos and interviews and, of course, live here on the air as well on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. All leading up, of course, to the beginning of the preseason, Falcons will hold one of those, you know, dual practices with the Miami Dolphins ahead of their opening game against the Dolphins. We are only, we're 9 days away from the Falcons opening their camp at Flowery Branch, and they'll have a day. The Falcons rookies and veterans will report on the same day, okay? Some do rookies and then veterans later. Some do both at the same time. Falcons are going to do both at the same time on the 24th here. We're only 17 days. By the way, we're only 17 days to the first NFL preseason game. 17 days. That's how fast it's going to come. Hall of Fame game is in 17 days. The Texans haven't even opened their camp, and then they're going to play 2 weeks later. Then we're 25 days away, of course, from Atlanta opening its preseason against the Dolphins, and then 40 days away, just for the countdown purposes, 40 days to Florida State, Georgia Tech, 40 days to Florida State, Georgia Tech. And one of the things I noticed about that, I was mentioning this, you know, the Falcons have a brutal, and we'll get into it more tomorrow, but a brutal start to the season in terms of a schedule. They have to play in their first 5 weeks, back-to-back conference games, division games, and on short rest, no less. They have to play three primetime national TV games, which we haven't had to do in a while, and they're playing three in the first 5 weeks. Matter of fact, three in the first 5 weeks. They'll play a Monday night game, a Thursday night game, and a Sunday night game. And then they have to play no less than the Steelers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bucks, and the Swampers. So that's five really tough games. One of the good things about this is, when you're talking about a new coach, new scheme, new quarterbacks, one of the nice things about this is that you do have a preseason where, and I know it's only preseason, but their preseason schedule, it's not easy. They're playing at Miami, at Baltimore, and against Jacksonville. So, I mean, they're at least getting high-level preseason games, which is, I guess, a good thing here. All right. There's no preseason in college football, though there ought to be. And I've said this for a long time. One of the things as we move forward here in the future of college football, which I don't have to spend a whole bunch of time talking about it, but there's going to be more expansion and more joining and a new governing body, and it's going to look a little bit different 5 years from now than it does today. It just suffice to say, I'm telling you that USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington being in the Big Ten is a holding place, a holding place, okay? It's a holding place. I think Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC is a holding place because I eventually see multiple 10-team divisions. And so just back to kind of more regional football, and you'll see what I mean in a few years. And they're also possibly going to expand again. Yeah, they're going to go to 16. I know. I'm just telling you that's what's going to happen. So anyway, I tried to tell somebody who doesn't work here anymore on the station. I said, you know, they're going to 12. I said this like about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. They're not going to 12. I went, oh, yeah, they're going to 12. No, 4's it. I went, yeah, they'll never leave 4. And I went, no, they're going to go to 12. He's like, you're a follower. And I'm of course, now look. And I'm telling you they're going to 16. Why do I tell you they were going to 12? Because they started saying they were going to go to 12. And the SEC, why are they at 12 teams and not 8? That's a really good question. Do you know the answer? The answer is because who demanded it? The SEC. That's right. Greg Sankey and the SEC demanded. The Big Ten wanted 8. The Big 12 wanted 8. The ACC wanted 8. Oh, no. The SEC said, we must have 12. It was the SEC that demanded a 12 team. Why? Why would they do? Because they want more of their teams in the playoff. Oh, that's right. Well, and they're going to get it, by the way, because there's a 12-team playoff, of which 7 of the 12 teams will be from the Big Ten and the SEC. More than half the playoff will be from two conferences. Yeah, I know. There could be 4 SEC teams in the playoffs. And yes, that does mean, as we go into this year, that we do have a distinct possibility of Georgia and Texas or Georgia and Alabama playing each other 3 times. 3 times. Because Georgia's going to play Texas in the regular season. They're going to play Alabama in the regular season. They could have a rematch, Georgia and one of the two, in the SEC title game. And if they're rematching in the SEC title game, pretty good chance they're both going to be in the playoff, which means there's a chance they could rematch in the playoff at some point. So, yeah, they could face – you could have a team play – two teams play each other 3 times this year. I know. One of the things that you won't hear in this SEC media days, just because it's going to get lost and everything else in all the other chatter – was from Greg Sankey talking about somebody asking him an honest, legitimate question. There are no more divisions. How are you going to break tiebreakers if there are multiple teams that just happen to end up, I don't know, unbeaten in conference play? You know, either tie for first with 3 teams or, you know, 3 teams that all have 1 loss or and didn't play head to head. Or only 2 of the 3 did. How are you gonna break ties to come with? Because you know we're talking about top 2 teams going to the SEC title game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Sankey said, "Well, we're trying to work that out." That's what he said. He said, "Well, I'm talking to like the school presidents and the athletic directors, and we've got some ideas, but we're trying to work out. We don't really know yet." And I'm like, it's July 15. You might want to figure those tiebreakers out. Because, Dom, they get to, like, I don't know, December 1st, and they haven't figured out the tiebreakers, and we got a problem.
Yeah, that's less than ideal.
Yeah. Or as Abe would say, suboptimal. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the SEC Media Days. I've got a lot of questions. I'm going to run down the list of questions. And, by the way, if you've never called the show before, 2 things are true, okay? Number one is I don't limit you to what I'm talking about. So tonight the 2 talking points are going to be the SEC Media Days and Trae Young. Again, I know, but he's said stuff and tweeted stuff. We got to talk about it. But if you want to talk about the Braves, you're more than welcome. If you want to talk about the Falcons, you're more than welcome. You want to talk about the Olympics, you're more than welcome. I doubt I'll get an Olympics call. You want to talk about the melee at the Copa in Miami and how the hell are we going to run a World Cup? Because that was an unmitigated damn disaster. If you haven't seen what happened in Miami at the Copa with the fans sneaking in, oh my God, you've got to go watch. Just Google Copa America Final.
I was going to say, they were in there sneaking in through like the air vents and stuff like that.
The air vents. So I tweeted out, they opened up the air conditioning vents and they're sneaking in through the basement. Hundreds of people, and they're all filming it. Oh my God, it was an unmitigated disaster. And we're going to host a World Cup? Yeah, we're not ready for that. We are not ready for that. So, because you had like 130,000 people trying to get into Hard Rock Stadium, literally 130,000. They said like 50 or 60,000 outside trying to get in. And, you know, and people with tickets were left outside. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people who had tickets couldn't get into the game because it was just a disaster. So anyway, yeah, you should, if you haven't seen it, you should Google it. So I'm going to list some SEC Media Days questions. Not the questions I would ask. These are my questions about your team that I have questions about your team out there. Yeah, it's you and you and you and you. And I need you to help me out and answer them. Now, there's a pretty obvious one about, you know, they talk about NASCAR packages in football. Kirby's got a NASCAR package, he's just not on the field. So I'm curious from Georgia fans, because I'd like to hear from you about all this. I know that Kirby Smart is going to talk tomorrow. He's going to be asked about it again tomorrow. This is not the first time he's gone to an SEC Media Days. A couple, 3 years ago, he had to remember after the Willick horrible thing that happened to Chandler LaCroix and Devin Willick. They had the whole run and spate of it, so much so that ESPN did a half-hour special on how Georgia couldn't handle their players from driving fast and speeding all over the place. And it was a half hour, I think it was like Jeremy Schapp or somebody, half hour ESPN news special. And Kirby had to issue a statement, then go to the SEC Media Days. Well, it's back again. And they're like drag racing. These fools are drag racing down Broad Street in Athens as if the Athens PD isn't going, yeah, I'll just go over to the Dunkin' Donuts and get a cruller. Now, come on now. What are you doing? Go out. It's Athens. Don't go on the 316. Don't drive on Lumpkin. Don't drive on Broad. Go out into the middle of, I don't know, nowhere. Because it's Athens. It's not far from, I don't know, nowhere. Head east. Go towards South Carolina. Go out in the middle of nowhere. Jeez. UGA fans, my question to you. How big a deal is this to you? And to that degree, how concerned are you about it that Kirby can't seem to stop it? 404-726-0929. Now, you could say, ain't no big deal, don't care if Kirby. That's fine. I'm just asking you these questions. How big a deal is it to you? And why doesn't it appear that Kirby can stop it at all? If you are a Bama fan, you've got Saban. Matter of fact, we got a soundbite we'll play for you in a couple of minutes talking about Kalen DeBoer. I'm curious how you think about the fact that Nick Saban is still lording over the program. It's one thing for Kalen DeBoer, right, to take over for Nick Saban. If Nick Saban had gone to, like when he left LSU and went to Miami, or if he had retired to the mountain, no, he's still there. Yeah, his office is like right next to DeBoer. He may have a bigger office than DeBoer. You're the new coach, and the old coach is still, hey, coach, hi. You walk out into the, yeah, it's coach. They talking to you, DeBoer. I'm just curious if that's a problem to you. What do you expect out of this? And by the way, if you're a Bama fan, what do you expect from DeBoer's first year? So I need, you know, Georgia to walk me through this NASCAR thing and Bama to walk me through the fact that Nick Saban is still lording over Kalen DeBoer. If you're a South Carolina fan, look, there are some coaches who are on the hot seat. We all know Sam Pittman, right, at Arkansas, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. These are not unknowns. Billy Napier at Florida. If you're a Florida fan, where do you stand with Napier? If you're a South Carolina fan, does Shane Beamer belong on that hot seat, in your opinion? Just curious. 404-726-0929. At Ole Miss, there's going to be a surprise team this year. We all understand that. Now, Ole Miss is not a surprise team in being really good, but they might be a surprise team to win the conference, okay? Because you got Georgia, you got Texas, you got Alabama. I would imagine that Ole Miss is looking at that and slotting themselves in as the fourth team into the playoff. But what if you win the league? And if you don't win the league, is it ever really going to happen for you with Lane Kiffin? Are you ever going to take that kind of next level step in Oxford? I'm just kind of curious. And if you're a Texas or Oklahoma fan, and I know we have you in town, I know you're here, you Boomer Sooners, you Hook 'em Horns. How do you feel about being now in the SEC? Because are you listening to what they're saying at SEC Media Days? They're sort of saying, let's see if I can paraphrase this now. They're sort of saying, they're being asked, the coaches are being asked, Texas and Oklahoma are now in the SEC, and the coaches in the SEC are saying, okay, yeah, and? Well, but they're Texas and Oklahoma. And the coaches are saying, Okay, so? Because you aren't in the Big 12 no more. Hey, I look it around. I don't see I think you're not looking at the teams around you. Oh, no, that's right. You're looking at Georgia square in the nose and Alabama square in the nose. And by the way, once you get past those, if you think it gets any easier with LSU or Ole Miss or Auburn or Tennessee, it doesn't get any easier, okay? I'm just saying, for Texas and Oklahoma, this might be, for all the chatter about Texas coming in, and look, they're a good football team. Brent Venables is a good coach. Oklahoma's going to have a good team. But this is kind of next level. I'm not sure they are fully... We went to Alabama, beat them last year. Did you forget that, John? Beat them at night in Tuscaloosa. No, I didn't forget that. Beat them with Quinn Ewers. No, you're a good football team. You just have to stand... Ask Texas A&M what it's like to take that leap. Ask Arkansas what it's like to take that leap, to come into this league. That's all. 404-726-0929. Would love to hear from some of you college football fans. And I do have some stuff from Greg Sankey and Nick Saban we can chew on, too, on SEC Media Days. And then at the top of the hour, I'll give you my Hawk stuff with Trey, because he's back in the news again. We'll do that. Love to talk to you at 404-726-0929.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know who we are. In the Southeastern Conference, we're the one conference at this level where the name still means something. The southeastern part of the United States, where when we expanded, we actually restored historic rivalries while adding only 100 miles to the longest campus-to-campus trip our student-athletes will experience.
Yeah, that's Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, kind of slamming and digging at the Big Ten and the ACC and the Big 12, because Sankey's big into this fancy-dancy word called contiguous. For you swampers, that means connected to each other, okay? Whereas, you know, because in the Big Ten, you're going to have now, welcome to this Big Ten clash today between Oregon and Maryland. And welcome to this big showdown in the ACC between Boston College and Southern Methodist. Okay. Yeah, I know, it's strange. So, by the way, when he also said, we like where we're at 16 teams, but he also used this whole contiguous thing, which says, you know, we're connected to. So it was kind of a little bit of shade of, if the ACC breaks up, we're making it. What are we still connected to? Oh, that's right. We're connected to North Carolina and we're connected to Virginia, because Tennessee is connected to both North Carolina and Virginia, right? So that would be, Swampers, contiguous, because they're connected. And so they could go after the Virginia teams and the North Carolina teams and expand the league that way, because it would be contiguous. It wouldn't be like they went out and got Air Force or something. 404-726-0929. So I saw Brandon in Loganville. Somebody else dropped off. If you want to call back in here and talk about the SEC, Tyler, be patient. I promise. Guys, just be patient. I'll get to you. Let's begin with Yassine in Norcross. He's on with John. Hey, Yassine.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How you doing, man?
Good, good. I just want to discuss a little bit about the Falcons. I'm feeling very optimistic about this season. I'm not going to say that I don't see any flaws in our team or this and that. I'm really excited that there's a whole regime change. But going into the season, if there's one position or area of the field that we need to improve on, what area do you believe it should be? For me, maybe cornerback, but I just want to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, and we'll get more into the Falcons again tomorrow. But again, you're always welcome to do it. And since Yassine was nice enough to take the time to call into the program, and I appreciate that, Yassine. We can't know yet how they remember Raheem's long suit is even though he's passing game corner, is defense, and his even longer suit is secondary. So if he looks at DeMarco Helms, or if he looks at safety, or if he looks at Clark Phillips and thinks that they're okay, I hope he's right. I don't disagree with you. I know that there's still some big names that are out there. Xavien Howard, for example. Do I think the Falcons could kind of coax them if they can get enough money, which I think they could come up with, to get them in here? Maybe. Especially with the idea for somebody like Xavier Howard that if you believe that this team is capable of not only winning the South and hosting a game but making a deep run in the playoffs, and you start to say, look, if we get you, we might be Super Bowl bound, that may be a selling point too. But yes, I think on paper, Yassine, I think you're right. I think it's corner and or safety opposite Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying going in. That's why I thought they might take a corner number one. And then, of course, they took a quarterback, which I went, ah, oh. Thanks, Yassine. I do appreciate it. Yes, Yassine in Atlanta. And again, more on the Falcons tomorrow night. So the SEC tonight, bunch of questions for a bunch of you at 404-726-0929. Tyler is in Atlanta. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. I am doing great.
I'm doing all right. So today I wanted to talk about the Bulldogs and their situation that they have going on with the reckless driving. I'm more of the on the younger side myself. I'm 23 years old, so I know how the partying and leaving ended up with a inside of your own vehicle can end up. So I feel like the reason why this situation keeps happening is because they're letting the star players get away with it. You gotta if you. Cut a star player, I bet that nips it right in the bud and there's no more drinking and driving because they said, if you could cut a star player, you'll cut me. So I feel like that's how you'll fix the situation.
All right. So can you stay with me for a second, Tyler, and just talk this through?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I heard your ding in there. I didn't know if you had to get out of the car. Because I wanted to ask you a couple of I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions, and I appreciate the, you know, look, I want it known that I never did anything of the sort when I was, you know, in the early 80s, when I first became a television anchor at CNN, and I had a lot of money in a brand new Mustang, and I was dating hot girls running around Buckhead like I was, my hair was on fire. I did nothing of the sort ever. As far as you know, I did nothing of the sort, right? Okay, anyway.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here's the problem that they're running into now. And this goes to, do you hear the story about Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, and his superstar running back, Ollie Gordon II? Did you by any chance hear that story?
Yes.
Is your phone breaking up? Okay. So for those who don't know, Ollie Gordon II is a star running back at Oklahoma State, probably the best running back in the nation, 1,700 yards last year, 21 touchdowns, one of the Heisman favorites, gets busted for DUI and underage drinking. He's 20, right? And Mike Gundy doesn't penalize him at all, and then he goes out and defends him, saying, yeah, it's not that big a deal. You know, he's a bigger guy. It's three or four beers. It was only .10. I probably did it 1,000 times. I'm thinking you probably shouldn't admit that you did it 1,000 times, but okay. And the reason he defends him and he didn't, you know why he didn't suspend him? Tyler, this is why. I want everybody to understand this is really important. He didn't suspend him because right now it's the wild, wild west. There's no governing. The NCAA has nothing to say to these college football leagues. Nothing. Zippo zero. There's no governing body. And so you can't penalize the school. The school's not going to get in any trouble. And the coach, by the way, is not going to suspend his star running back because if he suspends Ollie Gordon just walks into the coach's office and says, I quit. See, the players have all the power. He can't. It could kill Kirby Smart. If he suspends a player for doing something like this, you'll get a bunch of players going, hey, don't go to Georgia no more. Hey, you do anything, you get caught speeding, he's going to kick you off the team. That's a problem.
So we also, there was a discussion about how great of a coach Deion Sanders is. Do you think he will allow one of his star players to get away with drinking and driving?
Deion went 4-8 last year. He might go 2-10 this year. He ain't no Kirby Smart.
Right. Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. I love Deion. I love him to death. A big fan of his. Interviewed him 100,000 times. Like him a lot. He's no Kirby Smart. Not in the universe of Kirby Smart. You know? I mean, right now, Colorado is a clickbait program, and the fans are okay with the fact that they're relevant on clickbait. But they just changed leagues. Kirby Smart's a national champion who should have won a third national title last year and is favored to win another national title again this year. He can't have guys bailing on him because the word's going around of these five stars who are suddenly saying, look, if you get caught going 45 miles an hour down Lumpkin Street on the wrong day by the Athens cops who are out to get the Georgia players, and that's what they're saying, by the way, so that you know whether it's true or not, I'm just saying that's what they're saying, that the Athens PD has it in for these Georgia players that, hey, listen, you get busted 10 miles an hour over and you're off the team. And so these players are going to think twice about this. This is not an easy thing to handle if you're a coach, because the other part of this, Tyler, is what are you going to do? You're going to put little monitors in their car to see, you know, like those State Farm things that they always promote? You know what I'm talking about? This is Allstate, yeah, you know, hey, safe driver thing.
I mean, I really,
but Kirby's going to get an alert on his phone. Oh, hey, Bob Smith is going 55 miles an hour right now. I mean, my God.
Yeah, because then that would turn into babysitting. So, but I don't know. They have to set an example some way, somehow, though. Because if you continue to ignore it and just let the players continue to make these mistakes.
I don't know what the answer is either. Well, I think I actually do know what the answer is. I appreciate it, Tyler. I think I actually do know what the answer is. And it has nothing to do, by the way, in my world, and see, I've been working through this issue about college athletes and being paid and how to handle this, because you may know if you've listened to me for a long time. Look, I've been doing this for 45 years. I was the national college football anchor at multiple networks, yada, 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 yada. You don't hear this bull. But so I've been working with this. This goes back to 1984 with a guy named Chuck Ninus, who was the athletic director at Oklahoma, quit to form something called the College Football Association, of which I almost went to work for, which was designed to make college athletics separate from universities and pay the players. And from Chuck Ninus, I learned a few things. One of the things I learned is we don't call them kids. They're not kids. They're adults. Okay. And, you know, if we can give them an M16 and put a helmet on them and stick them in a field to shoot at other people and die for this country at age 18, we can't call a 20-year-old a kid. Sorry, we can't. They're adults. And they're responsible for their debts. They can be responsible for children, et cetera. So they're adults. Second part is, they are not necessarily student-athletes either, right? I mean, you know that. We all know that. So is it a minor league? In a way and fashion, it is a minor league. See, if you do pay the players, and for all of you who are opposed to paying the players, understand right now it's the Wild West. Ollie Gordon can simply go into a transfer portal and just say, I'm gone, and poof, there goes your star running back, and your boosters are going, wait a minute now, coach, why'd you do that? Now you're fired, coach, because instead of going 9-3, you went 7-5 because you decided to punt the star player because he was a .1. I mean, you run into a lot of problems. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen of college athletics. You know, in the pros, there's an owner. In college athletics, oh my God, there's a school president, there's a board of regents, there's boosters. I mean, oh my Lord, there's parents. It's unbelievable what you have to work through if you're a college coach. The only way to really satisfy all of this is to pay the players. Because if you pay the players, let's say you pay them all $200,000 a year at that level. Okay, all the athletes, and that includes the women's tennis players, yes, they would get $200,000 just like the quarterback because Title IX. But if you pay the players and then allow them to have endorsements, because we can't call it NIL anymore, we should call it endorsements because they're adults and adults do endorsements. When Caitlin Clark is on an Allstate commercial, State Farm, whatever the hell it was, that's not an NIL, that's an endorsement, okay? It's an endorsement. It's no different than any other athlete. When Deion does it, when Saban does it for, you know, Aflac, those are endorsements, right? They're endorsements. So allow them to make money and then endorse them. And when you allow them to make money, you can hold them. You can do two things. You can get rid of the, you can ban collectives. We can ban these collectives. And we could put governing body, that's what I'm saying, no governing body, you form a governing body, you pay them, you ban the collectives, put in serious penalties. Like, we'll kick you out if you continue to do bad penalties. I mean, really, really serious penalties. And when you get the $200,000 that you get with these athletes, you make them sign contracts. And then you look at Ollie Gordon and you say, Ollie, you were busted for DUI. I'm going to suspend you for 2 games. Well, if you do, I quit. Ollie, if you quit, you're going to violate your contract and we're going to sue you. You better not quit because your contract specifically says that you signed a 2-year deal with us. And we are going to sue you for everything you're worth. Call your attorney. You got to play. It's just not, it's an, impl- College needs to make it an employee relationship just like the NFL and everybody else. If an NFL player, NBA player, Major League player, whatever, violates the terms of their contract, they become legally liable for the contract, right? We need to start doing that in college. Because otherwise you can't discipline them. And right now this is the Wild West. It's out of control, and Georgia's paying an off-field price, an imaging price, unfortunately for them, a tragic price at one point, for a culture that's got to be stopped, that I'm not sure the coach can stop. Because he has no power once those kids walk out the door. He can't govern them. 404-726-0929. John Frickie with you on a Monday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brace yourselves, it's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We know who we are. In the Southeastern Conference, we're the one conference at this level where the name still means something. The southeastern part of the United States, where when we expanded, we actually restored historic rivalries while adding only 100 miles to the longest campus-to-campus trip our student-athletes will experience.
Yeah, that's Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, kind of slamming and digging at the Big Ten and the ACC and the Big 12, because Sankey's big into this fancy-dancy word called contiguous. For you swampers, that means connected to each other, okay? Whereas, you know, because in the Big Ten, you're going to have now, welcome to this Big Ten clash today between Oregon and Maryland. And welcome to this big showdown in the ACC between Boston College and Southern Methodist. Okay. it's strange. By the way, when he also said, we like where we're at 16 teams, but he also used this whole contiguous thing, which says, you know, we're connected to. So it was kind of a little bit of shade of, if the ACC breaks up, we're making it, what are we still connected to? Oh, that's right. We're connected to North Carolina, and we're connected to Virginia, because Tennessee is connected to both North Carolina and Virginia, right? So that would be, Swampers, contiguous, because they're connected. And so they could go after the Virginia teams and the North Carolina teams and expand the league that way, because it would be contiguous. It wouldn't be like they went out and got Air Force or something. 404-726-0929. So I saw Brandon in Logaville. Somebody else dropped off. If you want to call back in here and talk about the SEC, Tyler, be patient. I promise. Guys, just be patient. I'll get to you. Let's begin with Yasin in Norcross. He's on with John. Hey, Yasin.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How you doing, man?
Good. I just want to discuss a little bit about the Falcons. I'm feeling very optimistic about this season. I'm not going to say that I don't see any flaws in our team or this and that. I'm really excited that there's a whole regime change. But going into the season, if there's one position or area of the field that we need to improve on, what area do you believe it should be? For me, maybe cornerback, but I just want to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, and we'll get more into the Falcons again tomorrow. But again, you're always welcome to do it. And since Yasin was nice enough to take the time to call into the program, and I appreciate that, Yasin. We can't know yet how they remember Raheem's long suit is even though he's passing game corner, is defense, and his even longer suit is secondary. So if he looks at DeMarco Helms, or if he looks at safety, or if he looks at Clark Phillips and thinks that they're okay, I hope he's right. I don't disagree with you. I know that there's still some big names that are out there. Xavien Howard, for example. Do I think the Falcons could kind of coax them if they can get enough money, which I think they could come up with, to get him in here? Maybe, especially with the idea for somebody like Xavien Howard, that if you believe that this team is capable of not only winning the South and hosting a game, but making a deep run in the playoffs, and you start to say, look, if we get you, we might be Super Bowl bound, that may be a selling point too. But yes, I think on paper, Yasin, I think you're right. I think it's corner and or safety opposite Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying going in. That's why I thought they may take a corner number one. And then, of course, they took a quarterback, which I went, ah, oh. Thanks, Yasheen. I do appreciate it. Yes, Yasheen in Atlanta. And again, more on the Falcons tomorrow night. So the SEC tonight, bunch of questions for a bunch of you at 404-726-0929. Tyler is in Atlanta. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. I am doing great.
I'm doing all right. So today I wanted to talk about the Bulldogs and their situation that they have going on with the reckless driving. I'm more of the on the younger side myself. I'm 23 years old, so I know how the partying and leaving ended up with a inside of your own vehicle can end up. So I feel like the reason why this situation keeps happening is because they're letting the star players get away with it. You got to – if you – cut a star player, I bet that nips it right in the bud and there's no more drinking and driving, because they said, if you could cut a star player, you'll cut me. So I feel like that's how you'll fix the situation.
All right. So can you stay with me for a second, Tyler, and just talk this through?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I heard your ding in there. I didn't know if you had to get out of the car. Because wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions, and I appreciate that. You know, look, I want it known that I never did anything of the sort when I was, you know, in the early '80s when I first became a television anchor at CNN, and I had a lot of money and a brand new Mustang, and I was dating hot girls, running around Buckhead like I was, yeah. My hair was on fire. I did nothing of the sort ever. As far as you know, I did nothing of the sort. Right? Okay. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, here's the problem that they're running into now. And this goes to, do you hear the story about Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, and his superstar running back, Ollie Gordon II? Did you by any chance hear that story?
Yes.
Is your phone breaking up? Okay. So for those who don't know, Ollie Gordon II is a star running back at Oklahoma State, probably the best running back in the nation, 1,700 yards last year, 21 touchdowns, one of the Heisman favorites, gets busted for DUI and underage drinking. He's 20, right? And Mike Gundy doesn't penalize him at all, and then he goes out and defends him, saying, yeah, it's not that big a deal. You know, he's a bigger guy. It's 3 or 4 beers. It was only .10. I probably did it 1,000 times. I'm thinking you probably shouldn't admit that you did it 1,000 times, but okay. And the reason he defends him, and he didn't, you know why he didn't suspend him? Tyler, this is why. I want everybody to understand this is really important. He didn't suspend him because right now it's the wild, wild west. There's no governing. The NCAA has nothing to say to these college football leagues. Nothing. Zippo zero. There's no governing body. And so you can't penalize the school. The school's not going to get in any trouble. And the coach, by the way, is not going to suspend his star running back, because if he suspends Ollie Gordon just walks into the coach's office and says, I quit. See, the players have all the power. He can't.
But they would be willing to risk
it. It could kill Kirby Smart. If he suspends a player for doing something like this, you'll get a bunch of players going, hey, don't go to Georgia no more. Hey, you do anything, you get caught speeding, he's going to kick you off the team. That's a problem.
So we also, there was a discussion about how great of a coach Deion Sanders is. Do you think he will allow one of his star players to get away with drinking and driving?
Deion went 4-8 last year. He might go 2-10 this year. He ain't no Kirby Smart.
Right. Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. I love Deion. I love him. I love him to death. A big fan of his. Interviewed him 100,000 times. Like him a lot. He's no Kirby Smart. Not in the universe of Kirby Smart. You know? I mean, right now, Colorado is a clickbait program, and the fans are okay with the fact that they're relevant on clickbait. But they just changed leagues. Kirby Smart's a national champion who should have won a third national title last year and is favored to win another national title again this year. He can't have guys bailing on him because the word's going around of these 5-stars who are suddenly saying, look, if you get caught going 45 miles an hour down Lumpkin Street on the wrong day by the Athens cops who are out to get the Georgia players, and that's what they're saying, by the way, so that you know whether it's true or not, I'm just saying that's what they're saying, that the Athens PD has it in for these Georgia players that, hey, listen, you get busted 10 miles an hour over and you're off the team. And so these players are going to think twice about this. This is not an easy thing to handle if you're a coach, because the other part of this, Tyler, is what are you going to do? You're going to put little monitors in their car to see, you know, like those State Farm things that they always promote? You know what I'm talking about? This Allstate, yeah, you know, hey, safe exactly driver thing.
I mean, I really
but Kirby's
going to
get an alert on his phone. Oh, hey, Bob Smith is going 55 miles an hour right now. I mean, my God.
Yeah, because then that would turn into babysitting. So, but I don't know. They have to set an example some way, somehow, though. Because if you continue to ignore it and just let the players continue to make these mistakes.
I don't know what the answer is either. Well, I think I actually do know what the answer is. I appreciate it, Tyler. I think I actually do know what the answer is. And it has nothing to do, by the way, in my world, and see, I've been working through this issue about college athletes and being paid and how to handle this because you may know if you've listened to me for a long time. Look, I've been doing this for 45 years. I was the national college football anchor at multiple networks, yada, 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 yada. You don't hear this bull. But so I've been working with this. This goes back to 1984 with a guy named Chuck Ninus, who was the athletic director at Oklahoma, quit to form something called the College Football Association, of which I almost went to work for, which was designed to make college athletics separate from universities and pay the players. And from Chuck Ninus, I learned a few things. And one of the things I learned is we don't call them kids. They're not kids. They're adults. Okay. And, you know, if we can give them an M16 and put a helmet on them and stick them in a field to shoot at other people and die for this country at age 18, we can't call a 20-year-old a kid. Sorry, we can't. They're adults. And they're responsible for their debts. They can be responsible for children, et cetera. So they're second part is they are not necessarily student-athletes either, right? I mean, you know that. We all know that. So is it a minor league? In a way, in fashion, it is a minor league. See, if you do pay the players, and for all of you who are opposed to paying the players, understand right now it's the Wild West. Ollie Gordon can simply go into a transfer portal and just say, I'm gone, and poof, there goes your star running back, and your boosters are going, wait a minute now, coach, why'd you do that? Now you're fired, coach, because instead of going 9-3, you went 7-5 because you decided to punt the star player because he was a .1. I mean, you run into a lot of problems. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen of college athletics. You know, in the pros, there's an owner. In college athletics, oh my God, there's a school president, there's a board of regents, there's boosters. I mean, oh my Lord, there's parents. It's unbelievable what you have to work through if you're a college coach. The only way to really satisfy all of this is to pay the players. Because if you pay the players, let's say you pay them all $200,000 a year at that level. Okay, all the athletes, and that includes the women's tennis players, yes, they would get $200,000 just like the quarterback because Title IX. But if you pay the players and then allow them to have endorsements, because we can't call it NIL anymore, we should call it endorsements because they're adults and adults do endorsements. When Caitlin Clark is on an Allstate commercial, State Farm, whatever the hell it was, that's not an NIL, that's an endorsement, okay? It's an endorsement. It's no different than any other athlete. When Deion does it, when Saban does it for, you know, Affleck, those are endorsements, right? They're endorsements. So allow them to make money and then endorse them. And when you allow them to make money, you can hold them. You can do two things. You can get rid of you can ban collectives. We can ban these collectives. And we can put governing body, that's what I'm saying, no governing body, you form a governing body, you pay them, you ban the collectives, put in serious penalties, like we'll kick you out if you continue to do bad penalties. I mean, really, really serious penalties. And when you get the $200,000 that you get with these athletes, you make them sign contracts. And then you look at Ollie Gordon and you say, Ollie, you were busted for DUI. I'm going to suspend you for 2 games. Well, if you do, I quit. Ollie, if you quit, you're going to violate your contract and we're going to sue you. You better not quit because your contract specifically says that you signed a 2-year deal with us and we are going to sue you for everything you're worth. Call your attorney. You got to play. It's just not. It's an college needs to make it an employee relationship, just like the NFL and everybody else. If an NFL player, NBA player, Major League player, whatever, violates the terms of their contract, they become legally liable for the contract. Right? We need to start doing that in college, because otherwise you can't discipline them. And right now this is the Wild West. It's out of control, and Georgia's paying an off-field price, an imaging price, unfortunately for them, a tragic price at one point, for a culture that's got to be stopped that I'm not sure the coach can stop. Because he has no power once those kids walk out the door. He can't govern them. 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you on a Monday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.